Can we welcome you one and all to our service of worship today here in Hebron? We're going to commence by turning to Psalm 100, the second version of Psalm 100. O all ye lands, unto the Lord, make ye a joyful noise. Serve God with gladness, and before him come with cheerful voice. Standing as we sing this great old psalm together, please. Turn for our psalm today to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, commencing to read at verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are all escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Ending our reading at verse 8, we trust that the Lord will add, with his own divine stamp of blessing and approval, the public reading of his precious word. Let us all bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee that on this, the morning of thy day, we can approach thee in this one day in seven which has been set aside for the worship of our God. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we come as those, many of us, who have been touched by the Christ of God in bygone days. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the very day and for the very hour when we saw by faith the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank thee for that time when we called upon thy name, when we were made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We do bless thee, Lord, for forever placing thy love upon us, the free, unmerited favour of God bestowed upon we, the undeserving. And yet, Lord, we're conscious that it was not for any good that thou couldst see in us. We rejoice that thou placed thy love upon us and called us by our name. Thy word reveals that thou didst say, thou art mine. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast looked after us from that day to this, that thou hast gone before us and prepared the way. And we're very aware that there have been times when we have failed thee, when we have floundered, when we have fallen, and when we have grown cold of the things of God. We do bless thee that thou hast come after us, and that thou hast pursued us in the way and brought us back into the way. Thank thee, Lord, that the child of God is forever married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And though oftentimes the evil one would endeavour to distract and distort, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we have one in the glory, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who pleads our cause at the Father's right hand. We do bless thee for the promise that thou hast given, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We do thank thee for the day that is before us all, when we will stand in thy presence, when we'll see thee face to face, when many of us will tell the blessed story, saved by sovereign grace. Thank thee for the mansion in the sky that thou hast prepared for the people of God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us as we sojourn and as we continue in our pilgrimage through this life, that we might press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep us in the center of thy will, thy plan, and thy purpose. And be pleased, Lord, to not only bless us, but to use us for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our pastor and the group in Romania. We ask of thee, the Lord, that as they minister the word over there and as they conduct these vocational Bible classes over these next few days, that thou wilt be pleased to presence thyself amongst them and to use thy servants. We think of the many young people who have travelled with the Reverend Park. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt stir their hearts as they see the mission field, some of them for the very first time. We pray that it might please thee to call forth missionaries and ministers and Christian workers. And grant, Lord, that these young people may be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might encounter and experience over there in Romania the like of which they have never seen heretofore. We think of our Ukrainian friends and all that has befallen them, and we ask of thee that thou wilt bless them as they sojourn with us here in Hebron. We're very mindful and very conscious of their families and their friends back home. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt stay the hand of an evil aggressor. Grant that it might please thee to undertake for those who they have left behind. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for the evangelical witness in that land, that thou wilt preserve, that thou wilt maintain, and that thou wilt prosper. So be with us this day. We thank thee for the one who thou hast brought into our midst, and we pray that as in a short while he will come and stand before the sacred desk and open up the oracles of God, that he might do so with the anointing of the Spirit of God upon his ministry. And as we sit in the pews, we pray that thou wilt move from seat to seat, from heart to heart, so that we might go away from this house today knowing that the Lord was here and he was here to bless. So undertake for us, Lord, we pray. Grant that all that is said and done this day might be said and done for the honour and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, can we give you a warm and a friendly word of welcome, each one, to our midday service here in Hebron. Those who are tuning in on Sermon Audio, Facebook or YouTube, we give you a extra special word of welcome. We're delighted to welcome to the pulpit today our visiting preacher, who's Mr. Trevor Wiley, no stranger to the older members of the congregation here. Our brother goes back a long time, and his father, of course, was very much involved in the days in Cabra. Our brother is a ruling elder in our Kilrain congregation, and we trust that he feels at home amongst us, as in a short while he'll come and he'll break onto us the bread of life. Please join us this evening at 7 p.m. in the will of the Lord. Our brother Trevor will be along again. There is a season of prayer in the rear hall at 6:30, and again we would encourage as many of God's people to join with us on that occasion. Please remember the outreach team from Hebron, who are in Bethany Baptist Church in Timisoara. They've been ministering there today already, and we'll say something else in a few moments about that. On Thursday, we have the deputation meeting of Miss Christina Logan. Christina attends our Rasharkin Church. She's a child evangelist. She'll be with us at 8 p.m. Please join us on Thursday of this week, and there will be a special time of prayer for missionary work and also for revival. Next Lord's Day, in the will of God, we commence with the early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m. The noonday service will be taken by the Reverend John Gray, and in the will of the Lord, the family night service will be taken by the Reverend John Gray, also minister of our Tandragee congregation. Can we thank you for your tithes and gifts and offerings for the Lord's work here? Today is the home mission outreach envelopes that are due in, and next Lord's Day, the Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the missionary covenant support. Our next Lord's table has just been moved back a week, with the Reverend Park being away on this missionary trip, and so the next Lord's table will take place on Sunday, the 10th of July. Please remember to pray for Andrew and the team who look after Youth Challenge. Youth Challenge has been earmarked for Monday, the 15th, through to Friday, the 19th of August. This year we're doing something slightly different. There's going to be a football camp in the afternoon from 2:30 through to 5 p.m. And then the children will be transported up to the church here, and a meeting will take place from 7 through till 8 p.m. The parents' night, in the will of the Lord, will take place on the 21st of August. We do have some of these invitations. They are bringing along to the football camp a guest coach, who is Stuart McPherson. Stuart McPherson is the nephew of the former international football star, the late George Best. So please pray that the Lord might be pleased to move, that a whole host of young people and children will be brought into to these football camps, and then we'll move on for the meetings later on that day. The two evangelists speaking at the summer camp this year will be Miss Christina Logan, who will be speaking to the juniors aged between 4 and 11. And then our brother Noel Shields will be taking the senior class, which will be 12 and above. And as we've suggested, the parents' night will take place at the end of that week. Please remember to pray for those who are sick within the fellowship. The list seems to ever grow longer. And of course, we have a list of the names there. Please remember them before the throne of grace. The outreach team left for Romania, and they left on Friday morning at 4 o'clock, I think it was, or 4:30. This is a picture of them in Dublin Airport just prior to boarding the aeroplane. There was some flight delays as they travelled to Romania, but nonetheless they arrived safe and sound. It was a long, long day for them. And this was them yesterday morning preparing to leave the hotel and to go out to the Roma community. You may have seen the video that has come along and has been sent from Romania, and that gives further detail as to the gifts that were given out on that occasion. This morning, the Reverend Park was preaching in Timișoara and ministering the word, and our brother Wesley was addressing the children also earlier today. Can we now turn for our second hymn? Before we do so, can I just mention one other further announcement? And as a congregation, we would like to express our congratulations to Joshua Fletcher. Joshua was elected as deputy head boy of Ballymoney High School earlier in the week. Over the past number of years, we have had quite a number of our young people obtain senior positions in both the high school and also Dalriada School. So we trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless you, Joshua, as you take on this position of responsibility, that he might give you wisdom as you fulfill this important position within the high school. We're now going to turn to hymn number 50, Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be.
Thank you.
we have already said, it's a delight, a privilege, and a pleasure to welcome our dear brother Trevor into the pulpit today. We trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless him. He's a highly respected member of our presbytery. And we trust that as he now comes and breaks the bread of life unto us, that he might be endued with power from above. And we trust that he'll feel at home amongst us. God bless you.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you here, and I thank the Lord for the privilege of speaking here this morning to you good folk. I have many, many happy memories of Malamony. I still look upon it as my hometown, and many, many blessed and happy memories. I didn't go into that this morning, or the batteries in my little gadget here would wear out. But I thank the Reverend Park and the session for inviting me here to speak to you today. And we trust the Lord will meet with us around his precious word. Now, my dad was a preacher, but preaching doesn't run always in the blood. And you'll discover that after today's over. But nevertheless, I thank the Lord for his mercy, for his goodness, and for all that he means to us today. And I'm sure you're the same. You can say amen to the wonderful hymn we were just singing, one of my favorite, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Perhaps we could just bow in a wee word of prayer before I read the scriptures and just pass on a few thoughts to you. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently today in thy most holy presence. Realize that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Thou art holy, 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 and we are just sinners saved by grace. We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. But we thank you for the great work of the cross, for the precious blood that was shed, for the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Savior, for his ascension into heaven, and for his work at the Father's right hand today, interceding as our great high priest. So we commend ourselves to thee today. Bless this congregation. As our faces differ, so does our need. And O God, thou knowest my great need. And I just commit myself to thee just now. Fill me with thy Spirit, I pray. Grant that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, might be acceptable unto thee. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. We're going to turn in our Bibles again to the Psalms, and it's the Psalm number 1, the first Psalm. And we're going to pass on a few wee thoughts to you this morning. We'll read this Psalm together. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love that little phrase at the verse 6. I quote it often as I would be talking to other people. For the Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. Just those little words. And I don't know what your situation in life is as we meet together today. But I would leave that little phrase with you. The Lord knoweth. And I think it's a wonderful little phrase. The psalmist also wrote in another psalm, Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. There's not a word in my tongue. But O Lord, thou knowest it all together. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning to each one of our hearts. The book of Psalms, I would guess, as I look across the congregation today, is read more than any other part of the scriptures. It's referred to and it's read in times of joy, times of sorrow, times of discouragement, and also times of encouragement. It's read for guidance and for direction in our lives. And if I was to go around you folks this morning, and again I say, and sorry for repeating myself, it's nice to see, and I think our brother mentioned it this morning, the older generation. Thank you for reminding me, brother, that I'm in that bracket as well. I've happy, happy memories. Maybe say more about it tonight. But if I was to go around the congregation this morning and I was to ask to give me your favorite 3-4 psalms, I would have quite a variety. But I'm going to mention just a few. The Psalm 1, it's a good start. And then 22, 23, 34th Psalm, the 37th, the 40th Psalm, 51, 55, 90, 91st, and 100th Psalm, 103rd, 121, and 139. I could go on, but those maybe cover a few of the psalms that you would say to me, Trevor, those are some of the ones I like and ones I often read. And repetition is good. It gets it into our minds and into our hearts. The word blessed at the beginning of this psalm, it simply means the benefits of, or the blessings, the happiness of one who listens to what the Psalms would say. The Psalm 2 in the last verse, verse 12, it says, blessed are they, or all they that put their trust in him. And we could read it this way, oh, the benefits of all they that put their trust in him. And then the Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We could rephrase that and say, the benefits, oh, the benefits of the individual whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. My, what a blessing to have our sins forgiven, washed away, to be saved, to be on our way to heaven. in the midst of a society, amidst of a world that is in turmoil, how blessed it is. All the benefits of knowing your sins forgiven. I trust that you'll just lift your heart now and say, thank you, Lord. Then it says in the verse 1 of her psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or the benefits, or the happinesses. That's the way we could read this first psalm. And I throw out the question this morning as I look across the congregation. Are you a happy Christian today? Are you knowing something of the presence of the Lord in your life? I trust that even as I stumble through this message, that you'll get something of what it is to be the blessed man, blessed woman, the blessed young person. God wants us to be a blessed people. It's His desire that we should be blessed. And why does God bless us? Why does God bless me? Why does God bless you? I believe one of the reasons is that we might be a blessing to others. So I want to leave three simple thoughts with you this morning from the first three verses of Psalm number 1. First, to be blessed, we must be separated from the world. And then secondly, to be blessed, we must be saturated by the Word. And then thirdly, we must be situated by the waters. Verses 1, 2, and 3. The separated man from the world. The world could be described as anything which separates us from fellowship with God. Anything that separates us from fellowship with God. I wonder, in the past week, and you can go back 10, 20, 30 years, just look at the past week. That'll be sufficient. Have we known fellowship with the Lord? Have we known that closeness as we sought daily to walk with the Lord? Have we sought to obey Him? We sought to glorify His name. Separation, this is not my coat. Separation is not isolation, but contact without contamination. If you can get your head around that, I had to write it down. Separation is not isolation, but contact without contamination. Folks, we're in the world. We live in the world. Most of you folk, I'm sure, live around the Ballymoney area. And you're out and about every day. You're involved in business. You're involved in one thing and another. And you're contacting people. And so you're not isolated yourself. You haven't, you shouldn't, from the world. Because the world needs a Christian witness, a testimony, someone to tell others about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. John's Gospel, or 1 John, sorry, his little epistle, chapter 2 and the verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just want to take the three little steps that are in this psalm here and talk them through with you. We could call it the downward steps. We'll try and not dwell too long on that because there's a lot of other stuff in verses 2 and 3. We turn to the New Testament, and I'm just going to take Peter as an example. Mark chapter 14. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're looking at the downward steps of this man, Peter, and maybe they could apply to some of us today. Maybe in certain areas, certain times in my life, they could apply to me too. But I'm no different from the rest of you. Look at Peter here in Mark 14, walking. Blessed is the man that walketh not. In verse 45 of Mark 14. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. Here we have Peter the apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, his last few hours upon earth, the one he had fellowship with for 3 years, and it says here that Peter followed him afar off. Can you get the picture in your mind? There's the Lord Jesus in the hall, judgment, the crowds crying out for his blood, and Peter follows at a distance. I wonder where we are today with our walk with God. Is there that distance? Like Peter, oh, he could see the Savior, but he was just keeping his distance from him. And then John chapter 18, and the verse 18, these are familiar to you, knowing you good folk in Ballymoney. John 18, and the verse 18. John 18 and the verse 18, we read these words. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. Listen, and Peter stood with them. And see the little crowd of men, women, and they weren't the friends of the Savior. Yet Peter was standing with them. Maybe their language wasn't that sweet. Their language maybe wasn't that complimentary to the Savior as he stood there in the judgment hall. Peter standing. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Blessed is the man that standeth not. And then thirdly, Luke's gospel. Turn back to Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel, chapter 22. Remember, we're coming to the end of the Savior's life. He's going to the cross. And Peter's there watching. Luke 22, the verse 55. What a sad, sad story. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat among them. Peter sat among them. Oh, let me say this morning humbly to myself and to the rest of you good folk, we need to be very careful how we live our Christian life. What a sad scene, the man that had been in the Mount of Transfiguration, and now he's standing and he's walking and he's sitting where he shouldn't be. I just want to move on to verse 2 of this psalm that we read together. But his delight, I love the little buts not a cigarette butt, but the little butts in the Bible. And here's one we have, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The first thought, separated from the world. Second thought, saturated by the word. And we simply mean by this little thought that we live our lives reading and meditating upon God's word. You know, some people, and I am guilty of it too, some people read God's word but do not meditate long enough upon it. It's perhaps in one ear and out the other. You know, you meet someone down the street and you're talking to them and they're telling you something. And maybe your mind is filled with other things and you leave them and you say goodbye and you walk a few yards up the street and you say, "My, what was he saying to me? Whose name did he mention? What was he really telling me?" It's in one ear and out the other. This verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We're turning over to a few other portions just to illustrate this thought this morning. We're turning to a few Psalms again. Psalm 37 and the verse 31. Psalm 37 and the verse 31. The psalmist says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." You want to be stable in the Christian life? Meditate. Let the word of God sink into your heart. And then we have in the Psalm 40, just over a few pages, the Psalm 40 and the verse 8, we have these words, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." You see, this morning, the Christian religion is not an outward show. Oh, yes, there are areas that we could talk about that, but I'm trying to get in the fact this morning that it's our heart. The Word of God says, "Is thy heart right with God?" Is my heart right with God this morning? Has my heart been right with God in the past week? Yes, thy word is in our hearts. I want to turn over to the New Testament, and I just came across this recently. For all my faults and failings, I study table talk every day. Used to be the old Martin Luther one, R.C. Sproul. Maybe some of you don't agree with him, but don't hackle me on the way out, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. There's a lovely little thought here, and I just want to leave it with you because time is going on. I still think this can take me to maybe 1:30 anyway, but we'll try and cut it a bit shorter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we have the birth of the Lord Jesus. I needn't take time to go into it, but if you read, say, from verse 10 on down concerning the angels, and then concerning the shepherds, and Mary was sitting there with her baby Jesus. What a precious, precious bundle of life she had as she cradled the Savior. Those are wonderful thoughts, you know. And Mary was sitting there, and Joseph, and they were seeing these things, they were hearing these things. As I say, read them for yourself. Verse 18, "And all they that wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And then the verse 19. verse 19, it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I think that's lovely. I think that's wonderful. She just sat there and she was seeing so many things and people coming and going, and it says Mary just kept these things in her heart, pondered them. I have another little quote, not my own. I don't know whether it was R.C. Sproul or not, I can't remember. But it says concerning this verse, "pondered them in her heart." It means she deeply reflected in an effort to search out the meaning. I'll say that again. I say it's not my quote. Talking about Mary here, keeping these things in her heart. She deeply reflected in an effort to search out the meaning. Could that not be a lesson for us this morning as we read God's Word? As we start the day with God's Word, whatever your devotional times are, your times of meditation and so on, whatever they are, is it not good that we search out the meaning? Meditating on God's Word is the same as I live in the country, and I worked in the farm, and I worked in agriculture all my life, and I loved it. Many a time I, pardon me, I'll take a wee drink of this. I look out the window, and just as far as from my window to you, brother, your seat, the cows are grazing. That'd be 150, 200. And they go into a field, and my, they have lovely green grass for maybe an hour. You folk in Ballymoney wouldn't understand that, maybe, would you? And then they lie down, they sit down. They have a wee rest, and you can almost hear them groaning because they're stomach is full of grass. Then you see a little ball coming up their throat into their mouth, and that's their cud balls. They chew at it, they chew at it, they chew at it, and then when they're finished chewing, they swallow it, and it goes down into their second stomach. And then all of a sudden, you see the little cud ball coming up from the first stomach, and the process goes on and on and on. I love to watch them. Perhaps that's the way we should consider God's Word. Chewing over it becomes a source of spiritual strength. I want you to turn very quickly to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll not read it all. We'll just read a few verses from it this morning. Psalm 119 dwells a lot with God's Word, God's commandments, God's statutes, God's truth, and so on. We're talking here about the man who is saturated by the Word of God. Psalm 119 and the verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." There's the heart coming up again, isn't it? Coming up again. The heart, the seat of affections and emotions and all that goes with that. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." Going back to the verse 1 of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, and sitteth not." And how do we do have that blessedness? Because we hide God's word in our heart. Psalm 119 in the verse 105. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid Or thy word is a lamp, sorry, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He was meditating upon it. I think perhaps you could say the lamp is something that shows where I am. Where am I now? My Christian experience. The word of God shows us. And then a light onto our path that shows us a little into the distance. And then finally, the verse 130 of this psalm. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. Oh, may we cherish God's word this morning. Before I leave this thought, I just want to quote the Apostle Paul, his letter to the church at Philippi. Oh, may it be my desire today and the incoming days. May it be your desire in the Hebron church in Ballymoney. Paul says these astounding words, and when we think of the Apostle Paul and all he did and his missionary journeys and his letters and so on, he says to the church at Philippi in chapter 3 in the verse 10, that I might know him. Imagine Paul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. As I move to my last thought, is it your desire today? I speak to myself, is it my desire today to know more? More about the Lord Jesus Christ. The little hymn says, more about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Lastly, the blessed man is situated by the waters. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I know there's an awful lot of meat in that one verse, and I know there's theologians here, and there's great Bible expositors and so on, but I'm not like that. But you look at this verse 3, and my, you'll get a lot of stuff there. You could preach for weeks on it, Mervyn, so you could, brother. Huh? But anyway, sorry for mentioning your name, but I see you there. I just want to dwell on just a wee thought as we close. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The situated man by the water. Everything needs water. I need water, even juice. You need water to live. Plants need water to live. The world needs water. The animal kingdom needs water. And it says here, he will situated by the waters. He shall be like a tree. What does a tree do? Just two wee thoughts to take home with you and chew over, meditate. As I look at a tree, it provides shade and shelter. The blessed man should be a shelter for other believers. That's a wee personal thought, just. We're all in the same family if we belong to the Lord. We've all different parts to play in the family. Paul talks about the body. And if one part of the body hurts, if my hand hurts, it usually affects the rest of my body. I'm thinking about it in my mind, and you know what I mean. It provides shade and shelter. The blessed man should be a shelter for other believers, those who are going through difficult and trying times. And folks, this morning, we can't escape that. I don't care who you are or what you are. We go through hard times sometimes. difficult times, times that try us to our very limit. It's awful nice when someone comes along and says, look, I'm praying for you. Or I like that, yes. Or I like people to come along and say, well, would you come for a coffee with me? Have a wee chat over a cup of coffee. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Look with me. Maybe you could mark it in your Bible. I have it marked in mine, but it means so much to me. Verse 3, chapter 42 of Isaiah. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. You know what he means? A bruised reed. Maybe a branch, a plant that is bent over, maybe broken purposely or on, maybe an accident. You can take that branch and you can straighten it and you can maybe do plant surgery if that's necessary and bind it up. And that plant will grow again. But if you take the reed that's bruised or broken, and you bend it the opposite way, 99 times out of 100, it'll break it. I wonder if there's someone here this morning and you're just like that branch. You're bruised. You're battered. You're just feeling that no one cares. The Savior cares. And I trust there's others within the family of God here that care too. And then the smoking flax, he shall not quench. Whenever I was in Papua New Guinea a number of years ago, we were in a tribe away, way, way off mainland, just in a wee, wee island. They'd never seen white people before. And they used to light a wee fire in the morning to cook their breakfast, and they would have got a wee stick about that width, maybe, dry, and maybe that length, and they would have lit it. But that little stick would have done maybe for 4 or 5 days if they looked after it. They would blow, it was just smoldering, they would blow it into a wee flame, and that would light their little fire for their breakfast. And then they would leave it in a dry place. And then they would go back in the evening and they would get the little stick from maybe in below the house or somewhere, and they would do the same thing again. But if someone was to come and put their foot on it out in the grass and rub it, you know what I mean? My, it would kill it. Oh, I trust that we have a tender heart today to those that are like a bruised reed, like a smoking flax. Remember Barnabas in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and 27. My, he was just converted. He was a rough diamond. I think he was almost like the Taliban, you know. You've heard of them folk. He was a rough customer. He was a dangerous man. And he was gloriously saved. Changed completely from the inside out. And then he met the disciples, and they were just a bit frightened of him. And Barnabas comes along and it says these words, and I love them. Acts 9, 26, 27. And Barnabas took him. Barnabas took him. Oh, you could see the difficult situation that Paul was in. But Barnabas went along and he says, come with me, Paul. Come with me, Paul. I'll help you. Is that how we live the Christian life? It produces fruit. And with this, I must close. produces fruit. The tree that's planted by the water, its shade, and then it produces fruit. John chapter 15. Maybe a difficult chapter in places, but we'll just take the simple part of it this morning. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or prunes it. You know, if you're a gardener, you prune off the old bits and pieces that are not necessary, that it may bring forth more fruit. We have here in this wonderful chapter, the verse 2, it says, beareth fruit. And then at the end of the verse, it says, bringeth forth more fruit. And then the verse 5, it says, bringeth forth much fruit. I wonder, is that my desire today, to bring forth much fruit? We can only do that as we read God's word, as we meditate upon it, as we dwell upon it, as we seek the Spirit of God's help. In Galatians, and I close with this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, what a world of wealth are in those 9 words. I sent a wee text to my granddaughter a couple of weeks ago out in Indonesia. She's quite good at art and craft, and she sent me a lovely little plaque to take home with me. And I said, look, keep up that good work, that's lovely. Maybe make some of them for the village people. It's a Muslim country, a dangerous country in places. But, and then I give her a few wee words to write on her plaques. And I had the word gentleness in it. And she wrote back, Granda, my favorite is gentleness. I don't know whether the Wileys were always gentle, or even the Martins, but she says, my favorite word is gentle. And you mothers here know what it's like when Paul said, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I was gentle unto you. What a thought. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Oh, I leave that wee thought with you. May the Lord bless these few stammering remarks. Thank you.
Can we thank you, Trevor, for those words and the encouraging challenge today about the blessed man, separated from the world, saturated by the word, situated by the waters. We're just going to close by turning to hymn number 510, How I Praise Thee, Precious Saviour, that Thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. heaven, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts and souls this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt keep us as a people separated from the world and from sin. Grant that thou wilt saturate us through thy truth. And keep us, Lord, we beseech thee, situated by the waters, the refreshing waters of life. Part us now in thy fear, and with thy blessing, and bring us back for the gospel this evening, we pray. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.